Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talk to Talk Tuesday. Cut the Talk Entertainment Report. I am Beth, aka Be True. Excuse my voice, it's a little raspy, but I hope you can understand me. Oh my God. First of all, thank you for your support and thank you for being a listener. Thank you for your constructive criticism. That's what helps mold and develop the show. Your feedback, and most importantly, your love and your support. Who enjoyed yesterday morning's show? I loved it. Was it obvious? Oh, my God. Received so much feedback. And, you know, that was an intro, getting to know you better episode, live episode for you all. So the next episode, we're looking forward to your Q&As, to your calls and your chats in the chat room. In regards of the topic of real estate investing and just becoming a better person and a successful entrepreneur. But you don't have to be interested in real estate investing to network with Mr. Nunn Thacker, because he is just a good person outside of being a good business person. So I thank you for tuning in. And if you did miss the live episode, you can check it out. And really, because it's awesome. We went over time. The episode was from 5:30 to literally right before 8, if I'm not mistaken. So, wow. And his schedule was so busy yesterday, I thought we wouldn't have but a few minutes with him. So I definitely thank Neil for spending the entire episode with us, because it was a super, super blast. We weren't ready to go. Just the time was up. The extra time was up. So, again, I thank he and his friends, new listeners, first-time listeners, for tuning in also, and I hope you enjoy. Check out some of the past broadcasts, and don't hesitate to call and chat and network with me and the long-time listeners. But I thank the new listeners. You all are so awesome. Ah, tonight is the night, huh? The second presidential debate. The night is here. So excited. I love town hall meeting type of events anyway, so this debate should be awesome. And, I mean, they say that it would be real questions from real voters. Can't wait. If today's your birthday, happy birthday. Here's America. You all know I love this song by Andre Simone.
I'm
America, Andre Simone. Like his fan page, Andre Simone, and tweet him at Andre Simone, A-N-D-R-E-C-Y-M-O-N-E. I have loved the music of Andre Simone since I was a little kid when he was a member of Prince's original band. And, you know, he separated and left the band right after the Dirty Mind album. And he's been on fire, you know, pretty much ever since. You know, he and Prince were childhood best friends. Prince even stayed at his house for a moment. You know, I won't say Prince ran away from home, but I guess in a way he did, and that's where he stayed with his best friend, Andre Simone, at the time. And they made beautiful music together and just, you know, had fun meeting girls. So that's Andre Simone. Andre Simone also is, you know, an awesome producer. When he and Dirty Watley were an item, he produced, like, our hottest tunes. And he even was cameoed in a couple of her videos, if you all remember. Okay, do I have to play some of her own hot videos from the 80s? Exactly. But today is your birthday. Happy birthday to you. I noticed that a couple of my Facebook friends, Ronnie Barnell, today is your birthday, and a couple others. But there are celebrity birthdays, and courtesy of AP Press, of course, courtesy of DallasNews.com, there are celebrities, of course, that we should recognize. And before I go any farther, who watched Dancing with the Stars? You know, sometimes I miss Dancing with the Stars. I prefer to sleep or do something else. But I watched some of it last week, and I watched it last night. That was an amazing show last night with Paula Abdul as a guest host. Just super amazing. And another thing, have you all heard that Beyonce is pregnant with a second, with she and Jay-Z's second child? Yeah. So I'll share that news with you also. But many of you might have already heard, but a lot of people are speculating when will she break the news and how. Because you remember when she broke the news to the public before, it was pre-MTV performance, remember? And at the end of her performance, she rubbed her belly, remember? So a lot of people are just wondering how will she publicly announce to the public that she is pregnant with she and her hubby, Jay-Z's second child. But congratulations to the couple. If it is true that Blue Ivy will be having a little brother or a little sister or a set of twins in the near future. So that's good news. But happy birthday. Actress Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote, turns 87 today. Gunter Grass, Nobel Prize winning author, 85. Suzanne Somers, I love Suzanne. Actress Three's Company, 66. Christopher Cox, former SEC chairman, is 60. Tim Robbins, actor, 54. Bob Mode, rock musician. Husker Du, 52. Flea of Red Hot Chili Peppers is 50. Wendy Wilson, singer with Wilson Phillips, is 43. Kelly Martin, Life Goes On, is 37. John Mayer, today is John Mayer's birthday. Happy birthday, John Mayer, 35. Sue Bird, basketball player, 32. And rock musician Bob Ware of the Grateful Dead, he turns 65 years old today. So happy, happy, happy birthday to everyone who's celebrating a birthday today, celebrating an anniversary, happy anniversary. But to our favorite celebrities, happy birthday to you guys. And today, also in history, in 62, the Cuban Missile Crisis began as President John F. Kennedy was informed that reconnaissance photographs had revealed the presence of missile bases in Cuba. And all in 1793, Marie Antoinette was beheaded during the French Revolution. In 1859, abolitionist John Brown, hoping to start an anti-slavery rebellion, led a raid on a federal armory at Harper's Ferry in present-day West Virginia. 1888, playwright Eugene O'Neill was born in New York City on this day, and China detonated its first atomic bomb in 64. 69, the New York Mets, a previously hapless expansion team, won the World Series 4-1 over American League powerhouse, the Baltimore Orioles. and 70, and Wasadat was elected president of Egypt, succeeding the late Gamal Abdel Nasser. 1973, Henry Kissinger and Le Duc Tho, who negotiated a ceasefire in the Vietnam War, were named winners of the Nobel Peace Prize, though declined the award. And let's see. Do you all remember this? I know you do. 87, rescuers freed Jessica McClure, an 18-month-old girl who had been trapped in an abandoned well for 58 hours in Midland, Texas. Wow. How could we forget that, huh? And 95, a vast throng of black men gathered in Washington for the Million Man March led by Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. Another have you heard? Have you all heard that the... Speaking of Million Man March, have you all heard, and that was amazing, like the Million Man March, it was great, but have you all heard of the Million Puppet March? You know, I love Big Bird and I love PBS, but if you have not heard, some of you might want to participate in this. Coming up on, if I'm not mistaken, November the 3rd, there would be the Million Puppet March. And that would be in Washington, D.C. on November the 3rd in support of Big Bird and PBS. There is a Million Puppet March. And I'm like, whoa, a Million Puppet March. And I know it really would be a lot of people, too. You know, wow. 1998, David Trumbull and John Hume were named recipients of the Nobel Peace Prize for brokering the Northern Ireland Peace Accord. And in 2002, President George W. Bush signed a congressional resolution authorizing war against Iraq. And just last year, in 2011, the Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial was formally dedicated in Washington, D.C. So those are... I announced almost everything that they have recorded in that newsletter in regards to today in history. But again, I thank you for listening to the show and tuning in. And here is Imprit from the UK. You can check out more of her music at ReverbNation.com Imprint. And it's spelled Imprint, I-M-P-R-I-N-T. And here's America the Beautiful.
So beautiful and poison whore, by terror you do reign. For war and oil you destroy, and all done in God's name.
Extreme Woody with his friends Rick Dano and Jamie L. Blue skies all the time.
Thank you.
me. I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. And at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few. I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
This is Janice Nolan. I'm Assistant Vice President for National Policy and Advocacy for the American Lung Association. I'd like to talk to you about the health effects of outdoor air pollutants. We've known for a long time that air pollution can cause very serious health problems, including killing people. We have times in our past history when we have seen the deadly health effects from episodes of air pollution. And in fact, about 40 years ago, the United States took the step of putting the Clean Air Act into place to provide a way for us to clean up pollution so that we could reduce this terrible burden on our health. Air pollution, however, today remains a serious threat to our nation's health. We as a nation must remain committed to providing healthy air for all of our citizens. Air pollution is actually more dangerous for some people than for others. For infants, for children, for teenagers, our seniors, for anyone with lung diseases like asthma or chronic bronchitis, for people with heart disease, and even people with diabetes, and even people who are healthy adults who work outside or exercise outside, are all at risk when air pollution levels are high. These folks are much more vulnerable to the harm that air pollution can have on our bodies. People everywhere can be harmed by air pollution, from newborn babies whose lives are cut short, to grandparents who suffer heart attacks, to healthy, vibrant lifeguards even, whose lung function is reduced, as we found in some recent studies. New research is warning us that women in their 50s may be particularly at risk from air pollution. We also know that people who are forced to breathe diesel exhaust and other engine exhaust on the job, like truck drivers and dock workers, may face greater risk of developing lung cancer or chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. People with low income or some racial and ethnic groups often face greater exposure to pollution because pollution sources like factories and power plants may be closer to their homes. Census data tell us that many people live near areas with heavy highway traffic, and highways are major sources of air pollution. Having poor access to health care for any reason may also make some people vulnerable. Some racial and ethnic groups also have higher incidence of diseases like asthma or diabetes, which makes them more at risk from air pollution.
Hola, soy Thalía. Muchos de ustedes me conocen como actriz, cantante, artista, pero mi papel más importante es el de ser mamá. March of Dimes me ayudó con excelente información durante mi embarazo. Mi bebé nació sana y a término, como debe ser para todos los bebés. Por eso apoyo a March of Dimes y su caminata anual, La Marcha por los Bebés. Únase y participe en La Marcha por los Bebés. Visite nacersano.org.
Hi, I'm Shawn Johnson, Olympic gymnast. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, but I went on to win gold. Every baby deserves that chance to grow up and shine. That's what March of Dimes is all about. Help me and the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies. To get involved or to make a gift, visit marchofdimes.com.
Uh-huh, yeah. Everything I do is big. We all talk big money. I talk big home. I sell out arenas. I call that getting dome. $1 million voice. Cream through the phone. We heading to the top. If you coming, come on. I'm flying out the pizza. Just to get some pizza. Fly down to Jamaica. To break a couple trees up. Sex on the beach. Left love speeches. They say that money talk. Tell these other boys keep up. What's up?
Tuesday, so we'll talk about the second presidential debate tonight. But before that, I want to share this from HollywoodLife.com. And to be honest, TMZ, Hollywood Life, I love it when they share info with me because it's usually on point and exclusive. You know, I like to provide entertainment news, not gossip. So I hope that the rumor is true. I'm sure many of you do too. I'm just looking forward to if it's true that she will announce that she's expecting a second child. And this article published by Wim Earle with HollywoodLife.com, and it headlines Beyonce, new evidence she's pregnant. And it reads, not only did Beyonce drop out of the upcoming film, A Star Is Born, but now new evidence confirms that she has a baby on the way. And it says that we've heard that Beyonce is pregnant with a second child, and now we have more proof that Blue Ivy has a little brother or sister on the way. HollywoodLife.com spoke exclusively to a source at Jay-Z's 4040 Club who confirmed that Beyonce, 31, has stayed away from liquor in recent weeks. Beyonce hasn't had anything to drink the last few times she was in here, our source said. I wouldn't be surprised if she had a baby on the way. Well, before that scandal, those photographs broke regarding Catherine, people had noticed she had stopped drinking. I don't know. They haven't mentioned anything to us, right, that Wim and Kate are expecting. So maybe Beyonce just wanted to lay off the alcohol for a minute. I don't know. But she might be. So, if so, I'm just wondering how she's going to announce it, like many of you. It says that Beyonce hasn't had anything to drink the last few times she was in here. our source said, I wouldn't be surprised if she had a baby on the way. Another clue, Beyonce recently dropped out of a high-profile remake of A Star Is Born, our sister site Variety reported. Beyonce spoke to ABC News about her excitement revealing her first pregnancy at the MTV Video Music Awards. Honestly, I just felt free. I really did, because I've been holding the most exciting thing in for so long. It just felt like, wow, now I can enjoy it and now I can just experience this the way that every woman should. And I felt like, oh, I can breathe and be happy. It was a beautiful feeling, and I went straight off the stage and cried. I hugged my mom, I hugged Jay, and just cried. It was a beautiful day. And so they're asking the readers, do you think Beyonce is pregnant again and presenting her video countdown? But, you know, if she is, congratulations. I'm sure if she is, she and Jay are happy, 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 because they're a couple in love, right? Here's Crazy in Love, Beyonce featuring Jay-Z.
Crazy right now, crazy right now, crazy right now. Let me rub you down. Let me spin you send it to him. Me love you so much. Your mind, you're fine. And girl, you recline. We do the sweet grind. We do the body wine. We do the sweet grind.
Days. Okay, we have 4 more minutes of live streaming, but we will go over time to talk politics. And I'm checking an article, an email that I received for the Washington Post, and they have a couple interesting headlines. Obama supporters see advantage in debate town hall format. And this article is published by Amy Gardner. And it reads, backstage at an Ohio rally in Columbus this summer, Michelle Obama skipped into the room to meet supporters who had earned the privilege of having dinner with her husband. President Obama followed, and when one of his guests offered an outstretched hand, Obama returned a bear hug. "We don't do handshakes in our family," he said. "We do hugs." The Obamas talked about their daughter's piano lessons, their struggles with student loan payments, the grind of the campaign trail. Michelle Obama grasped the hands of her guests as she spoke. Later, the guests said they felt at ease that President Obama and his wife were regular people. The Obama campaign fervently hopes that the president will make a similar impression when he takes the debate stage Tuesday. Supporters and advisors see an opportunity in the town hall format for him to connect directly with his questioners. And questioners will be real voters with real questions, I hear. I love town hall format meetings anyway, and so this presidential debate should be awesome. This is me talking. In the first debate in Denver, Obama appeared sluggish and gave rambling responses. The performances surprised supporters and critics alike. Now Americans are looking to see whether he can do it better. Supporters who have met him are especially puzzled. When I turned off my television, I started crying, said Paulette Camp, who owns a country store of her husband in Western North Carolina and met Obama backstage in Columbus. I thought, oh, my God, we lost this election. I can't believe it. I don't know who that person was. She was among awareness of the Obama campaign contest, which include dinner with Barack, backstage with Barack, New York City with Barack, Jay-Z, and Beyonce. Obama's contest encouraged supporters to give money and share valuable information about themselves with the campaign. They offer camera-ready portraits of a campaign in which even a volunteer has a chance to meet the president. Perhaps most important, though, the contest is Obama's ability to connect with ordinary Americans on their terms, something he did not do well in Denver. We heard you just graduated, Obama said to Grace Letano of Miami when she met him at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte. We definitely need more public health officials, so what you're doing is awesome. Letano is a single mom, a native of Peru, and a hospital case manager who recently completed her master's degree in public health. She won a contest and meet the president by donating $10 to the campaign. Standing in line at Obama's hotel near Charlotte with other contest winners, Letano knew that Obama had studied her biography and that this is what politicians do. But she was impressed anyway. The live streaming will be complete in about 40 seconds, but the broadcast will continue on. He's so easygoing and you just forget that he's president, Letano said, recalling that Obama told jokes but also asked after her six-year-old daughter, Caitlin, and talked about his support for the DREAM Act. The story is so similar for other winners who have spent 5, 7, 11 minutes with the president. Granted, they are all donors and volunteers, but they were downright giddy and surprised at how down-to-earth they found him to be. We all have similar stories to tell, recalled David Garcia, a music professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, who won a dinner for rock contest and dined with his wife. Two other couples and the Obamas in Washington last week. The president had a cheeseburger and the first lady shared her fries with the table, Garcia said. They were talking about their daughters, Garcia recalled. It was real and it was genuine. Obama held 17 such contests since last October, giving more than 70 supporters from across the country the chance to have dinner, attend a Los Angeles fundraiser with George Clooney, or watch the president shoot hoops in New York and with basketball stars. The connections made in these settings may be explained by the fact that these are people who are already supporters, and also may be that winners are chosen for their helpfulness to the campaign. Most are from swing states. More than a few are teachers. Others are students, small business owners, or government workers whose stories resonate with the president's message. Inevitably, they all have a lot to talk about. Oh, yes, I mean, this one volunteering four times at the Mississippi Republican Party vendor booth at the Mississippi State Fair that concluded on Sunday. We Americans, Mississippians, but Americans, because people from all around the world stopped by the booth, from diehard fans of the Obamas like I to people who are, no, they're mind made up, they're with Obama, the Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan supporters, to the undecided. I talked to myself and my co-volunteers. We talked with so many people. Honestly, listened to so many stories, love stories, and stories of people's lives and why people choose to vote for the president or for Romney-Paul ticket, or why people are undecided. Even a few people said, well, they might just stay home and not vote for anybody, but please don't stay at home. Please vote. But, I mean, it's amazing the stories that we all have to tell, but we all have something in common. We all love America, right? But to go on with this, he asked us everything about our lives, where we went to school, where we lived, our neighbors, our businesses, our customers. Recall Camp, the store owner from North Carolina. He was so interested in our lives, like when you just meet someone where you just click. He's really good with people. His town hall would be people, So I think that part of him is going to shine. So I just wanted to share that that interesting headline and that article with you. And then there's another article in the Washington Post, and, you know, the big banner, the presidential town hall debate live tonight, CNN, 7 Eastern time. So it's going to be 6, okay. Presidential contest tight nationally ahead of second debate. And this is by Dan Vaults and John Cohen. And they write, on the eve of their second debate, President Obama and challenger Mitt Romney remain locked in virtual dead heat. Nationally, the Republicans showing increased enthusiasm for their nominee after his big win in the first debate, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. Likely voters in the new poll split 49% for Obama to 46% for Romney, basically unmoved from the poll 2 weeks ago. Just before the two candidates met in Denver for the first debate, on topic after topic, the survey portrays an electorate that remains deeply divided along partisan lines and locked in its views. Nearly two-thirds say they do not need any more information before Election Day, and barely 1 in 8 is undecided or say there is a chance he could change his vote. Even as voters overwhelmingly perceive that Romney won the first debate, the vast majority say the opinion of the president did not shift as a result. But more people changed their views of Romney, largely in a positive direction. You know, I talked to many people, visitors at the Mississippi Republican booth that I volunteered at, and my first day I volunteered was the night after the first presidential debate. And many people from different backgrounds and races did tell me that they made their decision based on that debate. And some people, made it kind of obvious to me and told me directly that they made up their mind to vote for Romney based on that first debate. I'm just telling you the type of feedback that I received. But I talked to all types of people. Some people thought that, oh, because they were Democrat, they couldn't come and talk and look at materials. I'm like, hey, they're like, oh, I'm Democrat, but I'm Democrat. I'm like, that's cool. If you're Democrat, I'm an independent thinking, open mind Republican who votes across the line. I vote for Democrat politicians. I vote for who I feel is the best, will do the job the best and work for the issues that are important, not only for myself, but for my loved ones. And I'm like, hey, it's no harm in talking and looking at the materials. And it's very important to know what's going on. You know, it's two sides to every story. It is. But even when watching debates, it's good to because one thing that I love to promote when I was at the booth is the push cards, the push cards with the platform, with Romney Paul's platform. And that's what a lot of people that approach the booth mentioned. They like to look at both platforms, even people who already have their minds made up. But, you know, it's really helpful when you know both platforms and you see an outline of both candidates or all candidates involved. Even when your mind is made up, it's good to be informed, you know, to be adequately informed and to see things in black and white and to listen to things. Listen to the interviews and watch the debates. You know, that's what's important, that you're informed and actually know what's going on. How can you disagree with something if you don't know? If you don't even want to hear it, you don't even want to read it. I mean, no one's trying to if your mind's made up, your mind's made up. But but who does not want to be properly informed? I know no one who does not want to be properly informed. We don't want to be fed garbage, true enough, but we all want to be properly informed and educated regarding various topics and within our lives. Let's go back to this. But more people change their views of Romney largely in a positive direction. Overall, more than twice as many said their opinions of the former Massachusetts governor improve than say they worsen as a result of the debate. The strongest reaction is among Romney backers, 70% of whom say Denver made them think more highly of the GOP nominee. The improvement in views of Romney carries directly into the underpinnings of his support. Few of his supporters now express anxiety about a Romney administration. and the number of his backers saying they support him very enthusiastically jumped by double digits among the likely voters supporting Romney. 62% now do so intensely, exactly double the number who were eagerly lined up behind Republican nominee John McCain at this stage in the campaign 4 years ago. Meanwhile, enthusiasm for the president has also ticked higher, but it remains below where it was 4 years ago. Of course, at this time in October 2008, Obama held a 10 percentage point lead over the Republican senator from Arizona. In the new poll, a 3-point edge does not represent a statistically significant advantage. Beyond enthusiasm, Obama lags behind 2008 in assembling a winning coalition because groups of voters highly likely to back his candidacy, including Democrats, non-whites, and younger voters, as far less interested in the campaign this time around. But the president is bored in the final stretch by improving attitudes about the direction of the country, although his fellow Democrats are the ones becoming more sanguine. Among all voters, 42% now say the country is headed in the right direction, yet another tick upward, and 13 percent points higher than before the party conventions. Still, most 56% see things as pretty seriously on the wrong track. Obama gets some credit, but little from Republicans. He does get, and I kind of disagree. You know, there are all the Republicans that do give him credit, and there are Republicans who wholeheartedly support him, and there are all Republicans who are voting for him. And from one recent sign of improvement in the economy, the drop in the unemployment rate to 7.8% in September, breaking a record 43-month stretch above 8%. A slim majority of voters give him at least some credit for the decline, but less than 1 in 4 say he should get a lot of credit for it. Most Republicans, however, give him no credit for all of this, reflecting a big partisan divide on all matters. The slip in the unemployment rate had no meaningful effect on voters' views of Obama's stewardship of the economy. 47% of all voters continue to approve of the job he is doing on the issue, and 51% disapprove. Majorities have consistently given the president negative reviews on the economy going back more than 2 years. A challenge for Obama and Romney is that voters remain unconvinced that either candidate, if elected, would be able to quickly turn around the economy. Head-to-head on the matter, 48% of all voters say they trust Obama to deal with the economy, and 44% side with Romney. Among likely voters is an even narrower divide, 48% to 47%. Voters' preference on the economy are little changed from two surveys last month, and there has been only isolated movement across other issues tested in the new poll. Obama continues to hold the edge when it comes to being in touch with the economic problems people are having in the country, and when it comes to being seen as the more friendly and likable of the two candidates. As before, Romney does not have statistically significant advantage in any of the tested areas, including taxes, international affairs, and Medicare. But his 8 percentage point edge among likely voters when it comes to dealing with the federal budget deficit comes close. This question was asked of a half sample of all respondents with a higher margin of sampling error. Nor has anything shifted since the debate and perceptions about whether, as president, Romney would favor the wealthy or the middle class. 58% of all voters say his policies will probably favor the wealthy. Most say Obama's policies favor the middle class, not the wealthy. The long string of marginal shifts over previous surveys illuminates the high degree of lock-in that characterizes the campaign. After all, 48% of likely voters are either definitely supporting Obama or unlikely to change their minds, and 44% are committed to voting for Romney. The parity, neither Obama nor Romney, has had a significant lead in any of the 5 times the Post and ABC have asked about likely voting. Underscores the importance of voter turnout. Which party would be more successful at getting out the vote? The closeness of the contest has also persisted, even as the partisan makeup of the random polling samples has varied. Partisan identification fluctuates from poll to poll as basic orientations shift, and with the sampling variability that accompanies each randomly selected sample of voters. In current polls, Democrats outnumber Republicans by 9 percentage points among likely voters. The previous three post-ABC polls had 3, 6, 5 percentage edges for Democrats. The presidential contest would not be neck and neck nationally with any of these margins. Overall, 25% of all voters said they have been personally contacted by the Obama campaign. 21% say that this of a Romney campaign. Obama's side may have the edge in swing states, at least in terms of contact. About 37% of voters in the 8 key states, the 7 post-toss up states, plus Ohio, say they've heard from an Obama campaign rep in the past month. 27% in those states say they have been contacted by one of Romney's. State polling across the critical states where both campaigns are focusing their efforts has not changed dramatically since the debate, with Romney picking up mainly a percentage point or so. Those small shifts, statistically significant, but potentially substantively significant, wow, are also reflected in this new national poll, with the contest tightening on the margin among likely voters across those 8 states. A telephone poll was conducted October 10th through 13th among a random national sample of 1,252 adults. Results for the full sample of 1,063 registered voters are plus or minus 3.5 percentage points. They are also 3.5 points for the 923 likely voters. So Scott Clement and Peyton M. Craighill contributed to this awesome report and article. So, wow. And there's some other awesome, more awesome articles. Check out 5 Myths About Political Polling and so on. So if you can help it, try not to miss the debate, or at least try to listen to it, or check out the repeat of it. But it should be interesting enough, and you know, it really should. It really should be good. But November, what is really important is November the 6th, when it is time for us to go to the polls and vote. And some people already have told me that they are not discussing who they're going to vote for. And some of these people are people that voted for Obama before. And if that kind of tells me who they're going to vote for or who they might vote for. When people say they don't want to, when people are open about who they voted for before and then they have a change of heart, it's kind of obvious that either they just don't want to stay tired of talking about politics, even though they're going to vote for the same person, or they are going to, and I'm talking presidential, and if they decided they're going to vote for Romney or vote independent, that means to me they're not going to vote for Obama. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, some people want to know, I mean, even I have the right to change my mind, right? I might go in there and vote for Obama. I'm a big fan and supporter of Obama. You don't hear me saying anything negative about Obama. I'm a big supporter of Obama. And people be trying to get me to say something. I don't have anything. I don't even have any criticism to say about he nor Michelle, nor the first family, because I am a big fan and supporter of the first couple. Just because I'm a big fan and supporter doesn't mean I have to vote for them. But I do love them and love them making history, and they are awesome and have so much swag. And some people complain, you know, and I'm not going to say anything else, but some people just complain, and I'm like, wow, why are you complaining? You know, really, really, let's just do our best to work together and to improve the economy and pray for more jobs to be created and pray for us to be safe. For our homeland security to really, you know, for us to be safe, our homeland security, we're just doing a great job to do an even better job. And for us to just feel safe when going out in public and even being in our own residences where we lay our heads and where we live our lives, you know, really. And even at work where so much on the job crimes where people just go ballistic off. You know, let's just pray for things to improve overall, education, healthcare, entertainment, our lifestyles, us just to be healthy beings, more healthy. Let's just pray for the best and so on. But we'll see tonight. This debate should be a good debate. Like, I agree with both of those articles that I shared with you. Those are great articles, great writing. So big shout out to all the reporters that presented those particular articles that you can be found in the Washington Post. But I just wanted to share a little something that a lot of us are excited about, the debate tonight. And I'm just praying that, you know, but it's been a town hall meeting. It should be a clean debate like the first one. I thought the first one was awesome. I gave them both a thumb up. And, you know, really, because why? Because they did stay focused on their platforms and they did not mudsling. And because this is such an interactive debate with the public, it's probably not going to be one of those bad talking, bad mouth one another type of debates. Is what's important is for all candidates, even candidates here locally. What's important, and in your respective cities, what's important is that candidates should stay focused on their platforms, should stay focused on the needs and concerns of their constituents. You know, and that's what I've only been a political enthusiast since I was a little girl. So I think I maybe should know a little something. And just from observing campaigns and been a part of campaigns, politicians should stay focused. And then just as citizens, we should know this. We don't want to hear all that bad talking. We want to hear what you're going to do, how long it's going to take you to do it, what would be the first issues that you will immediately start working on. You know, because there are issues that immediately need to be taken care of. And immediately. And then there are other issues that, hey, they can, you know, you can have a deadline, at least have a deadline for it. Okay, we understand you can work on that later. But there are some issues that need to be taken care of. Like, as soon as the new administration began, if it's president's second term, if it's Romney's first term as president, they need to get on it, on whatever that needs to be done. Take care of it. And then even dealing with our politicians locally, same goes for them. You know, you're representing the people. You know, you're not wrestlers and boxers and NFL teams and basketball teams bad talking one another. You are human beings who are politicians who are representing us. And we tax-paying, law-abiding citizens, most of us try to be law-abiding citizens, want you to represent us to the fullest and to the best of your capacity. We want people to be, people that represent us to be, I'm talking this overall, competent with good sense. Am I wrong? I'm sure I hear from you if I'm wrong. but really, I'm just sharing my thoughts randomly, but they're sincere thoughts. But again, I thank you for tuning in and listening to the show and networking with me effectively. I hope you have connected with my guest from yesterday, and he will be returning. So it's so important for you to connect with him and talk with him. Even yesterday, he's such an amazing guy, such an amazing professional. Even yesterday, I seen him on Facebook. As busy as he is, he was telling his friends and those that he networked with on Facebook, hey, I have time to talk with you. Hey, let's talk. Let's talk real estate. So if you want to know more about real estate investing or being a successful entrepreneur or just, hey, getting out that rut or just becoming a better person, being motivated and encouraged, network with Neil Thacker on Facebook. NEILTHAKKAR. He's on LinkedIn, NEILTHAKKR. And also you can tweet with him. He will resume tweeting soon, at Neil, NEIL underscore Thacker. Now, tomorrow would be Matters of the Heart. And like I said last week, we're just going to leave the door open to talk about all matters of the heart. Whatever you want to talk about regarding love, relationship, dating, marriage, breakups, makeups. It's holiday season. What are some good ideas if you're single or not regarding things to do or gifts to buy or plans? What's a fun thing to do this time of year for those that are that are couples or not, that are single or not. You know, what are some fun things to do? Just call in and open your heart and just talk. Hey, let's talk about love. You know, we're always talking. My friends and I, Ebony Empress, and who hosts this Real Talk, which airs on Tuesdays. Matter of fact, she'll air today from the UK, and Thursday she has another show. When Belinda Bostic or whenever any of us talk, we always want to talk about how men and women and those in between, how we communicate differently. So, guys, I love it when guys call in. It's always amazing. Guys, ladies, feel free to call in and chat on tomorrow. I'm sure that there'll be a general topic. Maybe we'll talk about, like, in preparation for we'll talk some beauty and fashion talk, and in regards to, you know, dating and going to special events or gift buying, because, you know, the show is an hour and a half, and if we need to, we'll extend it. But again, thank you for tuning in. Of course, on Wednesday tomorrow, we're going to recap and talk about tonight's debate. So it's going to be a mixture of matters of the heart. We're going to be talking about matters of our heart. How do we feel? Did we have love or no love for the debate? I'm sure we'll have love for what we experienced and what we witnessed. But I just thank you so much. The show is not over yet. We'll play a couple more songs. We'll play a couple more songs and so forth. Thank you. I was looking at my time. I thought it was later than what my phone is indicating. So that kind of surprised me. I thought we were past a certain time. Okay. I think you all like this song.
Gangnam Style.
Hey, sexy lady. Hey.
love that. That's amazing. And you all probably say, well, you're not going overtime. Tuesdays and Thursday broadcasts are 60 minutes. That's why I try to schedule them for. You know, so I can do other, you know, research, study, exercise, think about my health. You know, I'm getting ready for an annual physical exam next month. So, you know, I'm working on dropping the pounds and not getting no high blood pressure medicine and taking good care of myself. And those of you that missed yesterday's show, you definitely should listen to Neil's advice regarding being healthy and the importance of health. You know, really good advice regarding taking care of oneself. But again, I thank you for supporting the broadcast. You are amazing. Remember, if you have quality PSAs, I would love to do my part to support your community efforts. Email them to me at culturesharkentertainment@yahoo.com, KulturesHarkentertainment@yahoo.com. And also, those of you see this is a fantastic avenue to advertise. So, and you know, I need to pay the bills. I need to stay on air. When I upgrade the show, it does cost money to broadcast for a lengthy time, and you all definitely demanded more time and more music and more talk. And, well, some of you want less talk, more music and less talk. But you see, this is a fantastic avenue to advertise your business. So don't hesitate to contact blogtalkradio.com, Steffers and myself, when you're interested in advertising. And you see the awesome advertisers that we have. A big shout-out to those that advertise with blogtalkradio.com. A big shout-out to the Blog Talk Radio founder and the staffers and my cohorts here at blogtalkradio.com also. You are amazing. You rock. And also, you all know I also broadcast on Springer.com. I haven't broadcasted the show in probably about 4 weeks, in a while, but I will this week, so check me out also at Springer.com. Culture Shock Inc., same thing, hyphen, either Beth Williams or my pen name, my DJ name, hyphen B-True, B.True, T-R-U. Just wanted to let you know. And follow me on Pinterest at Pinterest.com/KULTRE, Shock, S-H-O-K, B-E-T-H, Culture Shock Beth. And I'm on Instagram also. I've been on there for the past few weeks, and I'm really digging it. So follow me at Instagram and network with me via Instagram. Also, Instagram.com/CultureShockInc, KulTRESHOKENTBETH. Just awesome. So thank you. Big shout out to Power 105 in New York City also, and also the local radio stations here in Jackson, all other commercial internet radio shows that I network with worldwide. And be sure to check and catch Ebony Empress this afternoon. She will be broadcasting from the UK and talking about love, like always, sharing her awesome love advice. But here's my guy, my favorite teen sensation, David J, based in Georgia, multi-talented young man. Dedicated to students and teachers and those of you that love school, those of you that love to hate school, here's David J. School. Check him out of Reverb Nation also, and his YouTube videos are super awesome. Again, you've been listening to Talk That Talk Tuesday, Culture Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and have a fun day, and remember, have a fun time watching the debate, and we'll be talking tomorrow. We'll be talking politics and love tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, until next time.
Celebrate. that means I get that cash. For all the teachers in the past who said I hate this kiss my. When I hear that bell, but I'm trying to graduate and get my paycheck. So school's the answer, they'll break my neck. Yo, life's a killer, but I gotta live it. So in order to live it, David J gotta kill it. Time to get to business, gotta test tomorrow. Fast class, trying to pass, Mr. Lee, no follow. He's an alien. I'm like, I speak the English, no complaint, they Canadian. Red dot on my forehead, but I ain't Indian. Disregard administration, cook up the bacon, yo. Essay in my English class. Like I said before, I'm trying to finish first, no less. All the nasty complications giving my mind a rest. 8 o'clock p.m., I do my homework and I crash.
Again, that was David J. School. And speaking of love, before we conclude the show, I have to send out a big special birthday. Happy birthday to a woman that I met last week. She and her husband, oh my God, I just fell in love with this couple. They just celebrated their 53-year anniversary, and today is the wife's birthday. And they told me their love story. You all know I'm a romantic. So please, I mean, just because I don't have a significant other, I love hearing love stories. I love love. You know, I would love to fall in love. Cupid would, you know, I'm not looking, but if Cupid want to hit me, I welcome the arrow. but they shared with me their love story of how they met in New York and how they became engaged and so on. But I want to wish the Mrs. Ritter, Mrs. Freddie Ritter. The couple name is Mrs. Jerry and Freddie Ritter, and I have a picture of them posted on my Facebook page and maybe on my Instagram. I want to wish them, first of all, a happy belated 53rd anniversary. Amazing. I still at the time I loved asking couples that have been married maybe 2 years or more what's the secret to their marriages and their long time being a couple. And this is the answer that Mrs. Ritter gave me. She said, number one, she put God first. Second, she put her husband first. Second, her husband second, and third, herself. She said, God number one, her husband two, and then herself third. She said, that's the secret to the success of their marriage. And so, happy birthday to Mrs. Ritter, to Mrs. Freddie Ritter, amazing couple that I enjoyed talking with. I enjoyed talking with everyone that stopped by the Republican Party booth at the fair, but they really, really impressed me. And I remember she told me that her birthday would be today on Tuesday. And if you're listening, or if anybody know them that's listening, please tell them that I sent them a happy belated anniversary wish and a happy birthday. So just wishing them the best of all things. 53 years together, it's amazing. But happy birthday. Just amazing. But you all can see their pictures on my Facebook page and on throughout my other social networking pages also. But again, thank you. God bless. And we'll definitely conclude the show now with, well, I pretty much had it chosen. But I remember, oh my God, it's somebody's birthday. Davy Hamilton, how you go? Little country rock in the show. Listen to me being the poet.
It was a Friday night around about 9. We were close to the county line. than Jimmy Daniels Mustang 5-0. Just my best friends and me, a nowhere special we had to be, but we felt like kings on the open road. It was the end of summer, our junior year, had a tank of gas and the sky was clear, a little hint of fall was in the air. Aerosmith was rocking the car while we were playing air guitar. None of us had a plan, but we didn't care, 'cause it's not where you're going, it's how you go. It's living in the moment and taking it slow. It's not where you end up, it's how you roll. It's not where you're going, it's how you go.